Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 again.
Vamos a abrir nuestras Biblias en Evangelios de San Mateo, capítulo 24, otra vez.
Chapter 24, Matthew.
San Mateo, capítulo 24.
Verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree when its branches, when its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near.
Y la higuera aprende la parábola. Cuando ya su rama está tierna y brotan las hojas, sabéis que el verano está cerca.
Even so, you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door.
Así también vosotros, cuando veáis todas estas cosas, conocéis que está cerca a la puerta.
Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place.
Es cierto, digo que no pasará esta generación hasta que todo esto acontezca.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now last night and this morning, we are occupied with the phrase that our Lord has uttered. He said, now learn the parables from the fig tree. Now, if our Lord spoke on parable, it means behind the parable must have a very deep lesson for us to learn. No doubt our Lord was talking about the future of Israel. According to his prophecy, one day the nation of Israel will be reborn. So our Lord spoke on fig tree. But our Lord said this is only a parable. Deep down in the heart of our Lord, behind that fig tree, actually our Lord wants to reveal something even deeper and something even more. Now, if we go back to the letters to Ephesians, now this is a very important book. Because through this book we are able to understand what is the eternal will of God. Now in chapter 1, we are told that God has purpose, a purpose in himself. So what was the will of God in himself? Now the answer is Christ. When we read chapter 3, we were told that God has a purpose in Christ. Now what is that purpose of God in Christ? The church. So if we put these two thoughts together, the God's eternal purpose is Christ and his church. Then why our Lord talk about the fig tree? Why our Lord talk about Israel? Because our Lord said this is a parable. Learn the parable from the fig tree. When you see the future of Israel, then you see the future of the church. The way God is going to deal with Israel, In the same way, God is going to deal with his church. Now, when we look around, especially focus on today's Israel. We have many questions to ask. How is Israel going to cope with the situation today? Now, if Arafat insists on that the taking back, insists on to make capital of his nation in Jerusalem. Now, does that mean that Jerusalem will be away from the bosom of Israel again? How about Temple Mount? Do we really believe that before the Lord returns, there will be the third temple to be built? So we really have a question mark. Is Israel going to have a future? Is Israel going to have tomorrow? Yes. Israel has today. But has Israel tomorrow? Now the same question about the church. The more we know human nature, the more we know our flesh, the more we'll be disappointed. If you really study the church history, one failure after another failure, then we ask one question. Is church going to have tomorrow? Are we going to face tomorrow? So, in order to receive the comfort from the Word of God, we have to study the prophecy. Not to satisfy our curiosity. Because only through the prophecy we are able to know the Word of God. Now, last night we already know. Out of 590 major events predicted in the Bible, the 570 events have been wonderfully fulfilled. There are only 20 events to be left. And these 20 events are being fulfilled and will definitely be fulfilled. Then, if this is true, that means this will really come to the last page of his history. Then we'll ask one question. What is the last phase of God's work? So for that reason, we want to learn the parable from the fig tree. We use Israel as illustration, but our eyes should be upon the church. Because that's something to do with God's eternal will. We may fail. God will never fail. One day, he definitely will accomplish his will. One day, fallen is the great battle. Then Jerusalem will come down from heaven. Now, for that reason, we know that God is always victorious. So let us receive the comfort from the Word of God. Now this morning we would like to go one step further. We would like to go to something deeper. And we want to see how the Bible predicts about Israel. At the same time, we would like to know what is the future of the church. Now, before we are doing that, we have to solve something very fundamental. So we have to turn to Isaiah chapter 49. Now from here we want to derive very important principles. Now you who are the leaders in the church. Now please pay attention to chapter 49 of Isaiah. Now we are about to learn something very important. Verse 1. Listen to me, O island, and pay attention, your people from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named me.
Oíste, costa, y escuchaste, pueblo de Samos. Jehová me llamó desde el vientre, desde las entrañas de mi madre, tuyo mi nombre en el mundo.
Now, listen to me.
Oíste.
Who is me here?
¿Quién es?
Now we can only understand who is me through the context. So just be patient. And then let us read verse 3. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel,
O Israel,
in whom I will show my glory.
Porque en ti me gloriaré.
Now we understand who is me.
Because
God said to the speaker,
porque Dios ha dicho a el profeta,
you are my servant, Israel.
Mi siervo es, O Israel,
in whom I will show my glory. Now we have two thoughts here. First, my servant. Second, Israel. Understand? Very clear, we have two thoughts here. In whom I will show my glory. But in this chapter, you not only see one Israel, you will see two
Israel.
Then, how do we know there are two Israel? Now, let us read verse 5. And now says the Lord,
who
formed me from the womb to be his servant.
El que me formó desde el vientre para ser su siervo.
To bring Jacob back to him.
Para hacer volver a él a Jacob.
In order that Israel might be gathered to him.
Y para congregarle a Israel.
Who is this?
¿Quién es él?
Israel.
Israel.
Israel, that mentioned in chapter 3, verse 3.
Israel es mencionado en el verso 3.
Now let me illustrate. This is Israel in verse. This Israel in verse 3. You see that? But now when you come to verse 5, to bring Jacob back to him.
Para hacer volver a Jacob.
So that is to bring Jacob back to Israel. Then in order that Israel might be gathered to him.
Para que Israel pueda ser congregado a él.
So Israel might be gathered to Israel.
Israel puede ser apuntado a Israel.
So how many Israel do you have?
¿Cuántos Israel tenemos aquí?
You have two Israel.
Israel.
Israel here.
Israel aquí.
Verse 2.
Verse 2.
Israel here.
Israel aquí.
Verse 5.
Verse 5.
So clearly you have two Israel.
Entonces claramente tenemos dos Israel.
Now how about this Israel in verse 5?
¿Qué dice acerca de este Israel en verso 5?
It talks about Jacob.
Habla sobre Jacob.
It talks about Israel.
Habla sobre Israel.
So this means the people of Israel.
So este significa el pueblo de Israel.
The Israel you all know about.
Israel que todos conocemos.
So this is Israel in verse 5.
Israel en verso 3.
But how about the Israel in verse 2?
Israel en verso 2.
So if you read the whole chapter,
entonces, todo el capítulo,
you know this Israel refers to Messiah. Now that's our problem,
right?
We only know one Israel. But according to verse 2. Verse 3. You are my servant
Israel.
In whom I will show my glory. Now if you read the whole chapter, you will make no mistake. This Israel actually refers to Messiah. To the Savior of mankind. Refer to our Lord Jesus. So that's something very wonderful. That's something that we never dream of. We think there's only one Israel. The Lord said no. No, two Israel. Now in the book of Isaiah, not only the Messiah has been called my servant. Now the people of Israel also have been called my servant. So in chapter in book of Isaiah, you have two servants of God. Two Israel. The Messiah, the servant of God. The people of God, the people of Israel, the servant of God. But what are the difference between these two servants? Now I have no time to go through other parts of book of Isaiah. But it will become very clear. According to the revelation from this book. Now the other servant of God, which is Israel, and what our God said, he is a blind one. That servant is blind. Do you see that? They are two servants of God. But with Messiah, with the anointed one of God, now he has a full vision. So if you read the whole Isaiah, and also 17 prophetic books in the Old Testament, you come to the conclusion. When Bible mentions the word Israel, yes, on one hand it applies to the people of the Israel. Now let me ask you, why people of Israel is called people of Israel? Because their father
was called Jacob. And Jacob went through a wonderful experience in
Peniel.
You remember how God touched his life. From that time on, now when Jacob began to move, he knew that every step is by the grace of God. Before that, he thought he was very strong. But from that time on, he became very weak. Then why he become very weak? Just like what Paul said. When I am weak, I am strong. Because the grace of Christ is always sufficient for him. The reason Jacob went through Peniel, because God wants to experience even more of his grace. And more than that, and God promised Jacob. His name is no longer called Jacob. He will change into Israel. So we all know that. The people of Israel is called Israel. Because their father was no longer Jacob. The Jacob had been transformed. When you study the Bible, how God addressed to Jacob, you were Jacob. Now Jacob is nothing but a word. Yes, God has given him all the earthly blessings. But that two-dimensional flatland is all the world to Jacob. Jacob never knew that there is another dimension called heaven. Through many years of training. And that subtle Jacob. Finally being transformed into Israel. He used to be a worm. Now he become a butterfly. Now he's able to fly in the three-dimensional heaven. Now that's the story of Israel. That's the potential of people of Israel. That's what God wants to do with the people of Israel. Why they call Israel? Because they have the same father. No longer Jacob, but Israel. No longer I, but Christ. Now this is very important principle. Do you see that? And this is story of the Old Testament. But then, we are told, our Lord Jesus, he is true Israel. Do you see that? That's why the Lord said, my servant Israel. Now one day, 1948, then according to the prophecy here, Jacob, to bring Jacob back to him, in order that Israel might be gathered to him. So our Lord Jesus is the center of gathering. This was they only know that around 1948, the nation of Israel was born. But they do not know all the story. Actually, in
1948,
Christ was the center of that gathering. In order that Israel might be gathered to Israel. In order that this Israel might be gathered to that Israel. In order that earthly Israel may be gathered into a heavenly Israel. So,
brothers,
you see the story here. That's the interpretation of the word of God to what happened in
1948.
Now, that's very important. So now I think we solved the problem. When you study prophecies in the Old Testament, when Bible refers to Israel, you discover there are double applications. One applied to the earthly Israel. One applied to our Lord Jesus. Now, because He is true Israel, those who we are born again in Christ, we become true Israelites. So I think it's very clear. So whenever Bible talks about Israel, you find double application. So if these are prophecies, so then now you see the dual application. Your fulfillment. Now, in this chapter, the Bible gave us a very good illustration. For example, we already know, for example, let us read verse 8. No, sorry, I think we better read verse 6. He says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel." Now that's the story since 1948. You know how our Lord raised up the tribe of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. But the comment of God here is very clear. It is too small a thing.
Poco es para mí.
Do you see that? Since 1948, for us, it's a big thing. And the nation of Israel was reborn. People came back to their own land. Jerusalem came back to the bosom of Israel. Then one day, and there will be a rebuilding of the second, the temple of God. We say these are big things. No, listen carefully. That's the comment from our God. It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel.
Poco es para mí que sucede en cielo para levantar la cruz de Jacob para que restaure el remanente de Israel.
Then what is the bigger thing? What is the greater thing? Let us read on. I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.
También te di por luz de las naciones, para que tengas salvación hasta los postreros de la tierra.
Now you see, this only a small thing.
On 1948,
our Lord Jesus became the center of gathering for the people of Israel.
But
something much greater than that. I also made you a light of nations. So that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. Now, what is the greater work? The work of salvation. The work of redemption. Jesus is accomplished on the cross. So you see that? Compared with this great thing. Now, this restoration of Israel is nothing but a small thing. But brother, sister, no matter what, some prophecy has been fulfilled. Now, because Christ has the dual mission. On one hand, he is the center of the gathering at the end day. On the other hand, he is the savior of mankind. So now, brothers, when you study the prophecy in this chapter, then you discover dual fulfillment. Now let me explain to you. According to that two aspects of the mission of Christ. Now here come the two fulfillment of the prophecy. For example, when we come to verse 8, thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, in the day of salvation I have helped you, and I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolated heritage.
Y te guardaré y te daré por pacto al pueblo para que restaure la tierra para que heredes a palabra de heredad.
Now, that's very clear. Now, when you study this part, it applies to people of
Israel.
That's why Bible talks about to restore the land. To make them inherit the desolate heritage. Now, this is being fulfilled today. But don't forget, in the eyes of God, this is still a small thing. Something greater than that. So that's why we have verse 10. They will not hunger or thirst. Neither will the scourging heat or sun strike them down. And he who has compassion on them will lead them. And will guide them to the springs of water. Now Christ, or our Savior, according to this prophecy, will guide them through the streams of water. If you study the whole Isaiah, that refers to the streams of the water of salvation. As the Savior of mankind, he always leads us to the springs of water. We are just like Samaritan woman. The Lord said, if we really receive this living water, we will thirst no more. This is wonderful salvation. Do you see that? So here we find doing that?
Pues
because of double mission of our Lord.
Por causa de la doble misión de nuestro Señor.
So now we see two different aspects of his work.
Entonces ahora vemos dos aspectos diferentes de su obra.
One applied to Israel.
Uno que aplica a Israel.
Another one applied to the church.
Y otro que aplica a la iglesia.
I think it's very clear here.
Para mí, yo creo que está muy claro aquí.
So now,
entonces,
something will happen before it returns.
Algo que ocurre antes de su regreso.
So now let us read verse, let us read verse 11.
Entonces vamos a leer el verso 11.
And I will make all my mountains a road.
Y convertiré en camino todos mis montes.
And my highways will be raised up.
Y mis calzadas serán levantadas.
Behold,
he aquí.
These shall come from afar.
Estos vendrán de lejos.
And lo, these will come from the north and from the west.
Y es aquí, estos del norte y del occidente.
And these from the land of Sinim.
Y estos de la tierra de Sinim.
Now that is, this part is most interesting prophecy. But you have to understand, you have to see the light, and you have to see the whole thing under the light of dual mission there. At the center of the gathering of people of Israel. Now the Lord, that now the prophecy says, behold, this shall come from afar. And lo, this will come from the north and from the west. So what does this mean? Because he is the center of gathering. Now many people of Israel will come back from all over the world. So Bible says, these shall come from afar. And lo, these will come from the north and from the west. Now let me explain. When you come back to the Bible, the Bible always used Jerusalem as a center. When the Bible says north, it refers to Syria. When the Bible says south, it refers to Egypt. When the Bible says east, that refers to today's Iraq and Iran. Now, when Bible says west, it refers to Eastern Europe. Now, very clear. Because when Bible talks about north, south, east, west. But don't forget, the Bible here mentions the north and the west. Did not refer to Syria nor refer to Eastern Europe. Because you have to read the context. We shall come from afar. Do you see that? Far north and far west. So that means beyond Eastern Europe. And beyond Syria. Now, the prophecy has been wonderfully fulfilled. Now, what is the far west here? Then there will be many people of Israel. They will come back from the United States and will come back from Mexico and also will come back from Canada. Because that far west, but then how far north? Around 1990. All of a sudden, the Berlin Wall collapsed. The empire of Moscow collapsed in one night. And then to our surprise, now many Jewish people, they really come back from Russia. for once upon a time. You know, these people will never leave their place. It is almost impossible. Now, let's turn to verse chapter 43. We will see something more interesting. Chapter 43, verse 5. Do not fear, for I am with you.
No temas, porque yo estoy contigo.
I will bring your offerings from the east.
De lo oriente traeré el corazón.
And gather you from the west.
Y de lo occidente te recogeré.
Now, interesting here. There is no problem for the people of Israel going back to their homeland from the east or from the west.
No hay problema para que el pueblo de Israel vuelva porque viene del occidente.
But there is some part of the world they will have
problems.
Verse 6. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. But again, you have to judge the north and the south here by the context. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. So again, here is not just Egypt or Syria. Far north and far south. So what does that mean? That means since 1948. Now people of Israel come back from more than 100 nations. According to the prophecies here, they have no problem at all. But there are only two areas in this planet. They will not let the people of Israel go. For that reason, and God has to say to the north, give them up. And God has to say the south, do not hold them back.
No,
you see that? Then now we want to know, what are these two areas according to the Bible here? We have to search, we have to judge according to the word of God. Not how you get. That's not the way of interpretation. We have to interpret the word of God by the word of God. Now, where is this stuff? The Bible says, not only the stuff, also far south. So Bible talks about the ends of the earth. Now you think Chile is the end of earth. That's your understanding. But according to the Bible, we have to know how Holy Spirit defines the end of the earth. So now you study Matthew. Do you remember what our Lord said? Behold, there is someone who is greater than Solomon. And why? Because the queen of the south will come from the end of earth to listen to Solomon. Now, something interesting. Queen of the south. We know it refers to Queen Sheba. In Old Testament. And the Bible said the end of the earth. And we know Queen Sheba comes from Ethiopia. So if you travel from Jerusalem south, when you reach Ethiopia,
According to the Bible,
he already reached the end of the sun, yeah. The end of the earth. So you see, it's very clear. When Bible talks about far south, it refers to Ethiopia.
Now, hopefully, you when you go home, I'm not here. You really go home to where you came from.
You try to get a map. You get a pencil. And you have a ruler. Yeah. Then look, you look for Jerusalem. And then you use a pencil to do the traveling. Now make a ruler. Now direct the stone. So then you also will find Ethiopia. Then if you measure these two
distances,
Ethiopia is 1400 miles south of Jerusalem. Now Bible refers as far south from the end of the earth. So according to the prophecy here, that means Ethiopia will not let people of Israel go. It was very true. Now, study your history. When you look back, say 1948. Now, if people of Israel came back from more than 100 nations, but remember, the government of Ethiopia tried to hold them back. They won't let them go. Now that's one area. How about another area? Now, where is north? Now, Bible is very symmetric. The revelation in the Bible is very scientific. Now, if you want to know where is the far south, then by the principle of symmetry, it's very clear. Now, you look for Jerusalem in your map. Then you do the traveling north. Now, if you travel south by the distance of 1400 miles, now you do exactly the same by traveling north. You will be surprised. If you do that experiment, then you will reach Moscow today. Do you see that? So according to Isaiah chapter 45, that was written 800 before Christ. Since 1948, we know there are only two areas won't allow people of Israel to go back to their homeland. So one is Ethiopia, another one is Russia. Very true, brothers and sisters. And they don't want to give them up. They want to hold them back. So then someday, God has to do something. And God has to say to Gorbachev, give them up. Now, something interesting. There is a journalist from CBS, United States. And he was in Moscow at that time. Literally, he heard the conversation from Gorbachev. Now, Gorbachev said, now, for many years, you Jews just want to go back to your land. And you repeat and repeat your request.
You said repeating to the veil.
I'm tired of it. If you want to go, you just go.
But
so brother, why Gopachar said that? Because there is someone who is greater than Gopachar. Who said to Gopachar, give that up. So brother, and then you discover the collapse of the empire of Moscow. Something no one can understand. Almost in one night, that great empire of Moscow collapsed. Now when that empire is in power, people of Israel will never go back to their land. There was about 3.5 million Jews in Russia. They don't want to give them up. So finally, thank God, around 1990, God said, give them up. So Gopchak had to let them go. Just like Moses said, let my people go. Now Gopchak has to obey. And then since 1990, and then you will find almost another million Jews come back from Russia. On average, in the airport of Tel Aviv, almost every 20 minutes, then there was airplanes from Russia. Now, listen carefully. Among these almost 1 million of Russian Jews, there are at least 3,000 scientists, best cream of nation of Russia. And more than that, if you gather these scholars together, now we know that there is a very famous institute called Weizmann Institute. It's equivalent to Harvard or University of Chile. But anyway, you know that this is the best college or best university in Israel. Now, if you gather all these cream of scientists together, they are able to create 5 vitamin
institutes.
And many musicians come from Russia. And then they are able to form 5 greatest symphonies of the world. 5 greatest symphonies. So think about it. Finally, they really come back from Russia. Then how about Ethiopia? Very interesting. By that time, something political thing happened to Ethiopia. And when they almost have another coup, political coup, then a government of Israel took action. I think they spent $100 million. To hire several 747s. That operation was called Operation Solomon. They sent the airplane to Ethiopia and then really take more than 10,000 Ethiopians back to Israel.
pulidos de Etiopia de vuelta a Israel.
Fortunately,
afortunadamente,
compared with the Russian Jews,
comparado con los judíos rusos,
Ethiopian Jews are very thin.
Los judíos de Etiopía eran muy flaquitos.
Because Ethiopia is the poorest country in the whole world.
Porque Etiopía es el país más pobre de todo el mundo.
Now, because they are very thin. So they take away all the seats from the 747. So they put this Ethiopian Jew just like a sardine fish. One next to each other. But you cannot do this with the Russian Jews. Because with the Russian Jews, each one had they would take a heavy seat. They would take a big seat.
Porque cada uno de los judíos rusos iba a ocupar que estaban solo aquellos.
So no more seats.
Entonces no había más asientos.
They take all the seats away.
Ellos ocuparon todos los asientos.
You see that?
No, no, no.
And there everybody squeezed together. They are going home. For 2,000 years.
Por 2,000 años.
They were dreaming one day they will go back to their home. Most likely they were descendants of Solomon and Queen Sheba. They are black in their color. But they are Jews. They want to go home. But they tried to hold them back. But thank God. And that operation was unforgettable. 7 babies were born in that flight. And then, when the Jewish rabbi was welcoming their brethren come home. When they see their brothers coming back from
Ethiopia,
and many rabbis really wept. They said, this means the Messiah is coming back very soon. It's the most emotional encounter at the airport. That happened around 1990. So brothers, you see that? Because Messiah, the Savior of mankind, he has one mission. He is the center of a gathering. So this Israel will go to that Israel. Even now the Russia or Ethiopian do not want to let them go. God work all things together. Now you want to hold all five people back? In one night, the whole empire collapsed. Then my people definitely welcome. Now we go back to Isaiah 49. It will become much clearer now. Isaiah chapter 49.
Verse 12.
Behold,
he aquí,
this shall come from afar.
Estos vendrán de lejos.
Now you understand the prophecy.
Ahora entiendo la profecía.
And lo, this will come from the north and from the west.
Y he aquí, estos del norte y del occidente.
It's far north.
Lejos al norte
and the far west.
Y lejos al occidente.
Now we know the far west.
Nosotros conocemos el occidente.
United States. Canada and so on and so forth.
Unidos, Canadá, y eso
por delante. But now we are also very clear.
Ahora tenemos una cosa muy clara, ¿bien?
Now this comes from the far north.
Y esto viene del lejos al norte.
So this
prophecy was fulfilled around 1990. We are most blessed. With our own eyes, we will see many prophecies fulfilled. So that's what the Lord is doing. And then, and these from the land of Shinim. Now you have a far north. You have a far west. Then have a far east. So now the Bible says, these are from the land of China. So what does that mean? It simply means, and when people of Israel go back to their home, some of them, they even came back from China. Can you believe that? Anything. Now, Chinese Jews are Jews. You have seen many Jews. You have seen many Chinese. Can you imagine? And these Jews actually come back from China. Did the Bible make any mistake? No, Bible did not make mistake. Very interesting. You know, around 1200 1200 after Christ. And there were many Jews who migrated to China. So they went to Kaifeng, the capital of China at that time. So they settled down there. Just like many people went to Brazil. But now they have to be very cautious, very careful. They want to draw the attention of the people.
What?
They don't want to draw the
attention.
So they want to hide themselves. But if they hide themselves, then their children may forget that they are Jews. So that's what happened in Brazil. Now then people, they use their name. If some name is connected with the fruit, you almost sure they are descendants of Jesus. So that's why you have Figueiredo, you have Oliveira, and all these names. So by this way, now one day, their descendants will know that we are the Jews. The same thing happened in China. So it's about 800 or 900 ago, years ago. So these Jews went to China. Then they took the name, last name of emperor as their last name. Now, my last name is Chen. Now, by that time, the last name of emperor is Chao. Just like Italians saying goodbye, Chao. So, now that's last name. So then, they all take that last name. They wear Chinese dress. They dress like part of, they really adapt to all the Chinese customs. They have their synagogue. They have their Bible. They use the way of Chinese writing to write their Bible. So from generation after generation, they become part of Chinese culture. But they never forget. They were Jews. You see? Normally you know them.
Normalmente uno lo conoce
by their facial expression.
Por su expresión de su rostro.
On the one hand, the women are much taller.
Por una de las mujeres son mucho más altas.
And also their nose very different from Chinese nose.
También sus narices son muy diferentes de los narices chinos.
So by that way you know that they are Jews.
De este modo uno sabe que son judíos.
Now something very interesting.
Una cosa muy interesante.
There is 1949.
Desde 1949.
Many Kaifeng Jews.
Muchos judíos de Kaifeng.
Or these Chinese Jews.
Or these judíos chinos.
They really went back to Israel. So today, if you visit Tel Aviv, if you pick up any Chinese restaurant, you don't have to ask, what's your name? The name must be Chao. Why? Because he is from the land of Sinin. This comes from China. Why? Because Christ had one of the missions. As a center of gathering for people of Israel. So when our Lord fulfilled that mission, behold, it comes from the far, and lo, this will come from the north and from the west, and this from the land of Sinim. Now, very interesting. Because this part of prophecy has been wonderfully fulfilled. But listen carefully. This is only part of the story. He not only, our Lord was not only the center of gathering. He is the Savior of the whole world. He is the light to all the nations. And his salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And he will guide them to the springs of water of salvation. So that part also ought to be fulfilled. Now something very interesting. If that applies to the church, if that applies to his work of salvation, now read it very well. Behold, they shall come from afar. They are coming to the fountain of the water of spring. They come to the spring of water. You see that? Now, something interesting. Either in the Far East, also from the far north. And they came from afar. They come to the spring of salvation. Now what does that mean? According to this prophecy, after the empire of Moscow collapsed, the gospel somehow has penetrated into that empire. Today we don't know how to explain it. Many people are saved in Russia. So that's the fulfillment of this wonderful prophecy. Behold, this comes from afar, from the front. This will come from the north. But more surprising, you just cannot expect. China is a country who has worshipped their idols more than 5,000 years. But according to the word of God, the salvation will reach that dark land. And now this wonderful prophecy that will be fulfilled. These are from the land of China.
They used to worship their idols. But now they have been translated into the kingdom of God's love. Son of God's love. Now they have come to the spring of water. Brother and sister, after 30 stormy years, you know very well China is a native country of atheists. Government declared that there is no God. Now, younger generation was brought up in that kind of education. After 30 years of iron hand, you almost can be sure that there will be no more gospel. Because their policy is to wipe out all the religions, including the gospel. Remember, their way is much more thorough than Roman Empire. So remember, Chinese people are the most populated people on this earth. Through more than 30 stormy years, you almost can be sure. Now there will be no more gospel left. But to your surprise, there was no Billy Graham. There was no D.L. Moody. There were no great evangelists. But somehow, the Lord has done something wonderful work. And then you discover, one by one they were saved. Of course, government never recognized that fact. So in their statistics, always make it very, always reserve something. Always very reserved. So they try to keep everything in small numbers. But something very interesting. According to their records, now there are at least 46 million Chinese, they are saved. Because they don't want that number to become big. That according to what they know. But today there are many underground churches. So these are the Christians they don't know. So if you double that number, this is a very accurate number. So brother, think about it. That nation has worshipped idols for more than 5,000 years. And that nation has went through 30 years of stormy years. And the iron fist tried to wipe out all the religions, including gospel. Remember, our Lord said, on this rock I will build my church. The day of Hades shall never be against it. Shall never prevail against it. So that's really happened in China. When missionary went again visit China, how do they explain the whole phenomena? No evangelist, and no great man. Everything is underground. Now this kind of soil is most unsuitable for the growth of life. You smell death everywhere. God will become homeless. Now no missionary allowed to preach gospel there. Remember. Now this is Israel. What our Lord said, in whom I will show my glory. So finally, he said, lo, this will come from the north and from the west. And this from the land of China. Then the Holy Spirit can help by the shouting joy. Verse 13. Shout for joy, O heaven. And rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains. For the Lord has conquered my people. And will have compassion on his
afflicted.
China was one of most suffering nations in the whole world. The people there went through one war after another war. It is poverty that almost controlled the whole land. But thank God. Brothers and sisters, now here we have a prophecy. Now here we discover the word of Christ is so visible. According to this prophecy, behold, this from the land of China. So brothers and sisters, now we have found very important law of interpretation. Chapter 49 is illustration. We see the double fulfillment. Now the word Israel,
la palabra Israel,
not only applies to people of Israel,
no solamente se aplica al pueblo de Israel,
it is also applied to the heavenly church. So if you see that, then when you study the prophecy again, you not only see the future of Israel, you also see the future of the church. Now, let me say something more. You know it very well. Now, among Bible scholars, they are divided when they interpret prophetic books in the Old Testament. Now, roughly, they are divided into two schools. Now, one school interpretation, we call it a reform. When we say reform, they are followers of John Calvin. So that one school of interpretation. Then there's another school of interpretation. We call it dispensational. Almost 150 years ago, there was a great movement in England. This movement is called Plymouth Brethren. Now their teaching is always labeled as dispensational. If you visit the United States, Dallas Theological School is following this school of interpretation. So, these are brethren, dispensational, Now, there is a behavior that is very different from the reform. If you live in the United States, now Westminster Theological School will represent the school of interpretation. Now remember, both of these schools, they believe Bible is the word of God. They really are evangelical in the understanding of the gospel. So, but unfortunately, when they try to interpret the prophecies in the Old Testament, evidently they are different. For the brethren, or for the dispensational. Now, every time when the Bible mentions Israel, for them, it is always literal. Always applied to the people of Israel. So that's their way of interpretation. You see that? For that reason, many of the prophecies here are yet to be fulfilled. Because they know that that will apply to the people of Israel. But for the understanding of a reform school, according to their theology, God has already been through with the people of Israel. God already laid the people of Israel aside. God has nothing to do with the people of Israel. Now the church is going to take that place. So if this is true, when you study the prophecies in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and many other books, now when the Bible talks about Israel, now, according to the Reform School, this definitely applies to the church. Cannot apply to the earthly people. And how about Jerusalem? How about Zion? Now they're all spiritualized. Do you see that? Now they are two schools of interpretation. Or dispensational school. They believe all the literal interpretation. Israel is Israel. Jerusalem is Jerusalem. Temple is temple. But for the reformed people, Israel represents the heavenly people. And Jerusalem referring to testimony. And temple refers to the church. So they all specialize. So if you study the interpretation of these two different schools, then you really begin to have a problem. Because for the reformed people, all the prophecies in the Old Testament have been fulfilled and will be fulfilled in the church. Do you see that? So that's why they are different in their interpretation. One is sitting on applying to the people of Israel. And another one insists that they will apply to the church. But brothers and sisters, unfortunately, if you study your Bible very well, both of them are correct. There is no reason for them to fight each other. Because in the Bible, especially Old Testament, you have a true Israel.
En verdad tenemos todos Israel.
You do have a true servant of God.
En verdad tenemos todos siervos de Dios.
Now you see, just like the blind people,
así como los ciegos,
just like a blind person,
así como una persona ciega,
try to figure out how elephant look like. So when you touch the feet of elephant, here's the elephant just look like a pipe. Now he's correct. And then some other blind person touched the stomach of the elephant. Then he said the elephant looked like a drum. Both of them are
correct.
But they only have partial truth. They don't have the whole truth. Now it's very clear. When you study your Bible, especially when the Bible is mentioned Israel, remember the rule of dual fulfillment. On one hand, it applies to earthly Israel. On the other hand, it applies to a heavenly Israel. So when you apply to the earthly Israel, actually you have interpretation from the brethren school. But when you insist on the heavenly Israel, so what you have is the school of reform. Now, brethren, why are we so fight? Because in the Bible, only take the bow, you will have the whole picture. Now we understand. Why our Lord said, let us learn parable from
fixing.
Yes. Now we will see the future of Israel. All miracles. All by the grace of God. Now the same thing should apply to the church. Is the church going to have tomorrow? Now study your prophecy. Then everything will become very clear. Unfortunately, my time is gone. Now I understand tonight probably the message for the workers and leaders. So if you allow me, now I try to accomplish, I try to finish the message in tonight. Because we will try to apply this principle. For the understanding of some important prophecies in Ezekiel. Now, if you see the dual fulfillment, on one hand, you see what happened to Israel. On the other hand, we see the future of the church. So I think this is very, very important. May the Lord really speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we really commit this time into your hands. We pray that you will give us spirit of revelation and wisdom.
Conceda el espíritu de sabiduría y revelación.
Open our understanding.
Que pueda abrir nuestro entendimiento.
Because we know that when you open your word,
y nosotros sabemos que cuando el Señor abre su palabra,
it will make all most simple ones wise.
Su palabra hace que lo más sencillo entre nosotros se torne sabio.
So once again,
entonces una vez más,
we pray that
nosotros oramos.
You will translate all the this message into the level everyone can understand.
Que tu mente, Señor, traduzca todo este mensaje en el nivel que todos pueden entender.
We are here, Lord.
Nosotros estamos aquí, Señor.
We thank you for this wonderful time together.
Nosotros te damos gracias por este tiempo maravilloso que tenemos
juntos. May your word really sink into our hearts.
Que pueda tu palabra verdaderamente alcanzar el profundo de nuestros corazones.
May this weekend
pueda este final de semana
will be the unforgettable weekend.
ser un final de semana inolvidable.
May this weekend,
fuera ese fin de semana,
will have eternal value in your eyes.
Tener un valor eterno delante de tus ojos.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray.
En el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, nosotros oramos.
Amén.
Amén.
Aleluya.
Damos un aplauso al Señor.